Martin, screw it, no music. And welcome back, everybody, to another edition of the always pressing PGA DFS podcast. This week we'll be previewing the 2017 Dell Technology Championship. As always, I'm joined by Jesse and Bucks. You can find them on Twitter at DFS Golf Gods and at BP Snow 11. Jesse, Bucks, how are we doing?
How are you?
I am just doing great. I just totally didn't understand what you said and screwed the whole start of this up. So it's going to be a good one tonight. I can feel it.
That's awesome.
Bucks, how are you doing?
Doing great. No complaints at all. So ready to get at it.
Sweet, sweet. Before we get into the DFS stuff, let's recap what took place this weekend, especially what took place yesterday. The Northern Trust Open, that was outstanding. And it was the first round of the playoffs. You got the top two guys, DJ and Spieth, going at it. Went to a playoff hole where DJ decides to just hit one of the craziest drives ever, which was amazing, and then put it within 3 feet. It's everything us hackers talk about doing, and he just did it. So we'll start with you, Jesse. What was your thoughts on the tournament?
Yeah, it was a great tournament overall, especially once it got down to the to Sunday, and DJ and Spieth had a pretty good lead going into Sunday. I really thought it was Jordan's tournament, and he just didn't make enough birdies to stay ahead of DJ. And then, of course, that last hole that they played was just insane. What Dustin Johnson did, it's hard to put into words.
Yeah. What about you, Bucks?
Yeah. I mean, it was everything that we expected it to be. I mean, we thought that it was going to be really a star-studded leaderboard, and it was. So, I mean, that drive that DJ hit on 18 in the playoff was just murdered. And I know that he was – a couple tour pros had complained about it and the course not being fair and this and that. But, I mean, I know we were talking about it earlier, but DJ during regulation was hitting three – from where his drive was in the playoff. And so there's several different ways you could have played that hole. But, yeah, I mean, he hit that shot in the playoff. That was amazing, that drive. But I think the second shot was even better in that situation. So really, really good tournament all around. And he was super due. So I'm glad that he won. But, yeah, it was just – fireworks everywhere. I mean, Spieth had to make a 20-footer on 17 just to stay alive, and then DJ had to make a putt on 18 just to stay alive. So it was everything you could ask for.
You know, he hit that drive on 18 the first time before the playoff, and it was a big slice, and that's what got him over in the rough and back out. I think he was just pissed and was like, "I'm gonna show him all right here." I mean, that was that drive.
It carried 310.
Yeah.
Just let that sink into the average golfer out there. It carried 310.
It was up there in no man's land. I mean, nobody had hit it up there all week. And then he does that in a playoff. So it's like.
If you want to talk apex height and all that good stuff, it was crazy.
Right.
157 apex height.
Apex. That's an excellent stat. That's a good point out right there. That's good and solid analysis, Bo.
That's what I'm here for. I'm here to keep everybody on their toes. What everyone's missing out on, I'm here to point out. Real quick, we'll update the FedEx Cup as the field trimmed from 125 to 100 for this week. DJ Spieth up top. You got Thomas, Matsuyama, Rahm, Fowler, Koepka, and then you got Berger, Hoffman, Charlie Hoffman, and Johnny Vegas. So it gets real interesting after like the top six or seven, and it'll keep changing up. But the one that shocks me, when I was sitting out watching him, they showed him Johnny Vegas is 10th. Is that – where the hell did that come from? We know he plays great, but it's just wow.
Yeah, I mean, he gets really, really hot. So after that RBC win, he's just been on fire, which has been great. But, yeah, he moved up from 29th to 10th. Jason Day jumped up from 49th to 29th, which is huge.
You should retire. You should retire.
Yeah. So 29th gets him into the top 30, which is the whole goal. And then the biggest move of the week was Watson. Went from 129th to 72nd. So that's definitely something to keep an eye on, because he does have to have a decent week to jump up into the top 70.
Bucks, why don't you recap us with a little bit of how the crew did last week?
Yeah, I think it was a good week overall. I mean, from my perspective, and I recapped this a little bit on Twitter earlier, but I only had two lineups all week, both in pretty heavy GPPs, and I picked, and I don't typically do this, but over those two lineups, I only had seven guys. So I had five guys, the same on each lineup, and then alternated the second or that last spot. I had six of seven guys to make the cut. I had five of those seven come in the top 25. And what's interesting, so I had a 5-for-6 and a 6-for-6 across my two lineups. What's interesting to me is that the 6-for-6 I had five guys in the top 20, three in the top 10, and then Berger fell off the last 18. But, I mean, five guys in the top 20, three in the top 10, typically you're, like, in contention for a GPP win. Obviously, it's harder if you don't have the winner, which I did not. But, I mean, when you have a loaded group like that, typically you're going to cash pretty heavy. And I pretty much, not min cash, but it was pretty close to min cash for 6-for-6. So overall, I thought the picks were really strong, but if you it was a true star and scrubs week. I mean, the leaderboard was just top heavy. It was crazy. But overall, I mean, a lot of the picks that we had last week hit. I know Jesse, Bubba, you guys were on DJ. Jesse, you said it as soon as we were talking about it and kind of trying to avoid the left side of the golf course, that you love DJ this week, playing that butter cut. And he did all week. He was playing that butter cut, keeping himself in play. He still missed quite a few fairways, but, and we'll talk about this a little later, I'll get into it, but he had what we would consider a good drive the majority of the time. So from a DFS week, in my opinion, we had a pretty good week. How'd you guys do?
How'd you do, Jesse?
Yeah, it could have been a lot better for me. If I would have had Henrik instead of John Rahm in one of these lineups, it would have been a really, really – I mean, if I would have had John Rahm instead of Henrik, been a really, really good week. But a lot of my guys bogeyed the 18th or doubled, like, you know, Henrik doubled the 18th hole, and he went from inside the top 10 to 17th, which was trash. But my picks that I put out for thesportsdegens.com, you know, I had Dustin, Rahm, Paul Casey, DJ, or Jason Day, Cantlay, and all inside the top 10. So overall, pretty good week. A couple bogeys on the last there ended up probably cost me about $300 or $400, but it is what it is. Make money, finally.
Yeah, yeah, it's good when you're 6-for-6 is cash. It's always a good thing. Yeah. So I had 1-6-for-6, 2-5-for-6s. It was the Casey Kuchar combo worked really, really well. Day made the cut, but it didn't do what we needed it to do, one would say. But overall, not bad. The biggest thing that sucked was Love Mark just completely – screwing the pooch on the opening round. That was horrible. But outside of that, it was pretty good overall. The picks came in pretty strong. Jesse, did you have the info on our guy Justin Wahlberg?
Oh, yeah, right? Yeah, so guy tweets me on Saturday evening asking about if the screenshot jinx is real. And I know a lot of guys may not believe in it, but I'm a big believer in the screenshot jinx. So I said, yes, please do not screenshot your lineup on Twitter. You can text it to your buddies, but don't screenshot it. He's like, okay, well, I'm in contention here. So, and so he ends up finishing, I think, fourth or fifth out of almost 30,000 entries on FanDuel for a nice little $2,000 payday. It's at Wahlberg. Justin is his Twitter handle. So really excited for that guy. You know, anytime you can pick up a W like that, it's pretty cool. And he gave us a shout out and said that he listens to the pod every week. So that's pretty cool as well. I like to hear that kind of stuff from people. It's not too awful often you get to, you know, finish fourth out of 30,000. So really good hit. Congratulations to Justin.
Yeah, man. Yeah. Four bucks and a two grand can't beat it.
That's a good little weekend. Good little weekend right there. Now let's try to do it again. Let's move on to this week's FedEx Cup event, the Dell Technology Championship. As Jesse pointed out earlier, formerly the Deutsche Bank Championship. It's the second event on the FedEx Cup playoffs. We narrowed it down from 125 to the top 100 players, and we still have a cut in the top 70 and ties this week. Starting next week, there will only be 70 at the BMW and then 30 at the Tour Championships, both no-cut events. So it's the last time we really can, you know, have a sweat for 6 of 6 this season. Jesse, why don't you go with the past event history?
Yeah, another thing, too, I think only 96 players are going to play this week because there's been some WDs and that kind of thing. So yep, it should be 100, but it's already down to 96. So we're still cutting to 70. Only 26 players are going to get cut. One way or the other, in the past, last year, this event has always played at TPC Boston, which is huge. And Wes will talk more about the golf course in just a minute. But it's been played here for a while, so really, really cool to actually have some course history. One way or the other, last year, Rory won at minus 15. The year before that, Ricky Fowler won at minus 15. The year before that, Chris Kirk won at minus 15. The year before that, Henrik Stenson won at minus 22. And the year before that, Rory won at minus 20. So a lot of scoring here, and obviously some big names. I mean, you know, four out of the last five winners are, you know, guys inside the top 10 in the world. And then obviously Rory has won here twice, which will be interesting going into this week.
What do you got for the course preview, Bucks?
Yeah, I mean, it's a familiar course. They play it every year. I think I think Jesse covered it, but the average score is 17.7 under. So there's going to be a ton of scoring. It's a par 71, 7,300 yards. Really great layout, in my opinion. Just a wide variety of holes. So it's not like one set group of holes is what's going to determine the winner. So they have three really scorable par fives. All should be reachable for some of the longer hitters. They have a few risk-reward short par fours, which is great. And then they have six of the 11 par fours kind of fall into that 450 to 500-yard par four category. Not only that, but I really, really like the finishing holes here. 16 through 18 provide some real scoring opportunities in a wide variety of holes. So you got par 3, par 4, par 5. But the last hole is a 530, 550-yard par 5. So it's reachable. A couple years ago, it was by far the easiest hole on the course. They revamped it a little bit and moved it. The green, I think they reduced by 30%. So it is a little tougher. And they brought some of the marshland into play. But overall, I mean, any par five under, honestly, 600 yards these days, these guys can get at it. So expect to see guys like DJ, even Xander, Schauffele, some of the longer players on tour, Jason Day, Rory McIlroy. They can definitely get to a mid to long iron into 18. So I think if anybody's within two shots of the lead heading into the final three, they have a legitimate chance to catch up.
Nice. Do we have any weather to worry about this week?
No, weather looks great. There's a slight chance of rain on Sunday, but there, and again, this is a different week playing on a holiday weekend. So they're playing Friday through Monday. But Monday, for the Monday finish, it's 82 and sunny. So nothing really to worry about. I mean, we'll keep an eye on it. Again, it's Monday right now. We have 4.5 days until they tee off. So we'll keep an eye on it. But as of right now, everything looks amazing.
I mean, there's a chance that hurricane, tropical storm, or whatever, too, could be moving through at some point. I know it's supposed to be coming through my area, which is Kentucky, in the weekend. And so it usually gets on up the coast, but like you said, we'll see.
And by then, you've already made the cut or you've missed it. So it's nothing you can do after that.
Yeah.
Jesse, why don't you kick us off with the key stats you're targeting for the weekend?
Yeah, for me, it's real big. I think tee to green week, strokes gained tee to green. So I'll be factoring a lot of driving distance, you know, driving accuracy, and then greens regulation. And then I think it's a great week to go back to birdie or better as well. High scoring. Obviously need the guys who can go out and make the birdies. And I also think too, it's not a bad idea to, you know, look at guys who don't make as many bogeys for obvious reasons. I mean, for me, it's pretty obvious, but what you got, Bucks?
Yeah, everything you just mentioned, the few things I would add, and I do think that bogey avoidance is big because at a course like this where the winner is going to be 17, 18 under, especially if the conditions get soft, you really have to minimize the number of bogeys you have to have a chance because a guy is only going to make so many birdies around, even if they are going low. So bogey avoidance is a key stat this week. Some of the big ones for me, though, obviously tee to green, strokes gained. Also, though, this week I'm big into what we would consider a good drive. And so the difference between driving accuracy and good drive percentage is that good drive percentage takes into account if you hit the fairway. But if you do miss the fairway, if you hit the green, it counts that as a good drive. And so I think that's a huge stat this week to give people opportunities to make those putts. And then one little note is that out of the last, I think it's six winners. It might be five winners, but either way, out of the last five or six winners, every single winner has been in the top 25 in scoring average and top 25 in all-around ranking. So those are two key areas that I'm going to be looking at just to double-check kind of the stat model.
So it sounds like it could be another chalky event is what you're saying?
Yeah, for sure. If you look at the top 25 in scoring and that all-around, there are some names that are surprising, but for the most part, it is – stud city.
Which for viewing pleasure, I do not mind. DraftKings is a different story. But yeah, I'm looking at the tee to green, the birdie or better, and the par five or the three I was looking at as well. So we're pretty much all on the same page. Let's get to the important part. Let's get into the DraftKings picks, basically. You got five guys over 10K, Spieth, DJ, Rahm, Justin Thomas, and Matsuyama. Jesse, where are you going in the top tier?
Yeah, I mean, once again, I mean, we're back to some pretty weird pricing here on DraftKings. I think it's kind of necessary, though. It was only 100-man filler or whatever. So one way or the other, it's annoying. But, I mean, for me, it's like Spieth. I think Spieth is the play over DJ. I don't like John Rahm's price increase. I'm not a JT guy. You guys know this. And then I do think that it is a good week to go back to Hideki Matsuyama. One reason being is a lot of people are going to be off of him after that miscut last week. And so they're going to be seeing that miscut and they're going to fade. Well, he's priced probably where he actually should be. And so it makes more sense. He also has pretty decent course history here with the 15th, the 25th, and a 57th the last 3 years here. So it's kind of lining up there, and he's playing very good golf. Just had a bad week last week, so I'll let him off the hook and probably go back this week, especially because I think ownership will be down.
What about you, Bucks?
Yeah, I love Spieth this week. He always seems, and you can make a case for every single one of these guys in the 10K or above range, but Spieth plays really well in. Well, he plays well overall, but he plays really hot in waves. And I think he is playing really well. And he leads out of the 100 golfers. He's first in, I think, four of my six stack categories. So for me, he's my play this week. And I hate playing super pricey guys because I think it limits you in having a balanced lineup. But when a guy like that stands out as much as he does, kind of not only is he playing well, but from a stat category, I'm going to be playing him. DJ, Spieth, and Matsuyama, though, are all in the top five in my stat model. And all, again, you can make a case for. So those are the three that I would be targeting. But Spieth is going to be the guy in this range that I play this week.
Well, apparently we're all going to like Jordan Spieth because that was the guy I had circled up top as well. the way he's putting right now is just outstanding. And like you said, you look at the stats, sixth and tee to green, second in approach, second in birdie or better, basically, and sixth in par fives. He is locked in right now.
Yeah.
And it is just not a lot to hate about Jordan Spieth. I know he can go off the rails at time, and we know some people that really don't like him, looking at you, Mike. But he's playing so darn well right now. It's hard not to. And I'm like you, Bucks. I hate paying top price, but there is a lot of guys in the sevens and even a handful of $6,900 guys that I have no problem using. So a stars and scrub approach could work there. I'm not saying every lineup.
Yeah.
I do like Spieth a lot. And the other guy I like a lot, and I'm with Jesse, I love contrarian plays. So that's why I love Matsuyama. I flocked to his name immediately. Prior to hiccup, he was a top 15 in four straight events. You mentioned his last three rounds here, Jesse. He's fourth in tee to green. He's third in birdie percentage and number one in par fives right now. So he is playing really good golf, like you said, Jesse. He had a bad week. It happens. That's the game of golf. Right. So I have no problem going back to him at all. So those will be my two guys up top. But I don't think you need to go there.
Another thing about last week, too, is Hideki, you know, it was more of a putter's type of golf course, and we know that Hideki traditionally struggles with the putter. That's why Spieth, you know, was up top, and DJ just hit the ball way too close, so it doesn't really matter. Now, my question is, who do you think of these guys above 10 is going to be the most highly owned? I mean, I'll say Dustin Johnson, and that's one reason why I don't want to play him again.
I would think DJ. It's going to be DJ or Rom, one of those two.
Yeah, I mean, it's going to be really tough to gauge, but I'm almost thinking Spieth just because DJ won last week, and especially if you're playing in some high dollar events, most guys don't like taking the previous week's winner. Just a smaller percentage of them. I mean, I think Spieth and Johnson should be 20%+. Matsuyama as well. I think the one guy in this range that I could see being lower owned just because of all of these people is Justin Thomas.
Yeah, I agree with that as far as JT goes. But I do think that – and it just depends on how highly touted they are. But I think Hideki could be, you know – he's probably gonna be more than Justin Thomas, but he'll be less than the other three.
Yeah, I mean, if he wasn't $2,000 less than Spieth, I would generally agree with you wholeheartedly. But if you can get Spieth at 12 or Matsuyama at 10 and use that money elsewhere to create a balanced lineup, I feel like more people will go that route.
Yeah, could be.
Yep.
Very true. Well, let's find out where they can go. We'll start the 9K range. You got McIlroy, Fowler, Day, and Oostie. Personally, I am not in love with this region at all. Bucks, what do you have here?
We literally say this every week, but I mean, you have four guys in the 9K range. It's just ridiculous. So it's ridiculous. I mean. But with that being said, I mean, the only guy, I think Jason Day's starting to turn around. Rory McIlroy still worries me injury-wise. I'm not saying he's injured right now, but I know he tweaked something a couple weeks ago. Oosthuizen, I mean, of all four of these guys, he's the last guy I would pick probably. So that leaves me one guy, Ricky Fowler, and he falls in the top 10 in my model. But with that being said, I still, at $9,700, and we'll get to this a little later, but at 97, I mean, if you're touching one of the top guys there in the 10K range, it's really tough to grab anybody in the 9K range, and still make, I mean, you can go stars and scrubs and definitely do that, but to have any sort of balance, it's hard to grab one of those guys. If I were to play one though, it would be Ricky Fowler. I think he is in the top five in birdies, top five DK points, and then he is in the top 10 of par four scoring, 450 to 500 yards for me. So he definitely stands out a little bit, but again, I hate this range.
What about you, Jesse?
Yeah, I mean, there's not a whole lot to like here. Besides, I do think Day, if you start your lineup, I think with Day, and you want to be in a big GPP, you want to be make sure you're different. Start your lineup with Jason Day and just work your way down. Some other, you know, another guy that I will play, because I did play him last week after I got to thinking about it and kind of looking around and also looking at the tags on FanShare, is Louis Oosthuizen. He played really pretty decently well, and he always shows up in these big events with guys who, you know, with other big names. He finished last week. He finished 10th, so he got a top 10. That's after a second PGA Championship. The only kind of drawback to Louis is he usually plays better on tougher golf courses than he does on these kind of quote unquote easier golf courses. The other thing about Louis is, and I was thinking about this,
he does not make, when you look at the top 25 guys here, yeah, he is by far the worst birdie or better percentage guy.
Yeah, I'm with you. I mean, that's the other thing is he doesn't show up on stat models, so I don't think he'll be highly touted again. So he'll be lower owned. I mean, I got him at 6% last week, so you know it's hard to beat that with a guy who finishes top 10. But other than that, you know, I might have a little bit of Ricky. I don't know what happened to him this past weekend, but he was straight up trash. And the other thing about Ricky too, I mean, yeah, he has a win here in 2015, but his other finishes are just kind of blah. So he doesn't really excite me. I mean, Jason Day and Louis are probably about the only two I'll go to. What do you got, Bubba?
Yeah, the only two I'll go to is Fowler and Day. Day more than Fowler. I expressed my love for Day last week, and it hasn't changed. And when he's top 15 his last four events at the Dell. And he's top six last week and top nine the week before, tied nine. He's playing really, really good golf. He's just not lighting the world on fire. Ricky Fowler, I do love the way he's playing, but I agree the weekend pissed me off. He was coming in hot into Saturday and then just blew up. Both rounds he started out bad, and then he kind of tried to right, but it's too late. But Fowler Day would be the two I go to. Day's the only one I touch. I see your angle with Usti. Maybe I'll change my mind if FanShares dictates it, but he scares the snot out of me. But I see your angle there. I really do. So it doesn't bother me at all. Let's take a look at the 8K range where things get nice. And you mentioned starting your lineup with Day. I made a lineup earlier today starting in this range with your favorite guy, and I like it a lot. So I'm not going to name them all off, but Jesse, where are you starting the 8Ks?
Yeah, I wasn't laughing at you, by the way, because of your love for Day. I love Day too, but I was just laughing at him because your little Twitter interaction you had last week with guy. But anyway, and then he bounces back with
a guy that finished 5-6 should retire. It's just hilarious.
Yeah. 2-under and 3-under on the weekend. Anyways, so yeah, obviously Paul Casey. I mean, do I really have to talk about him? He is number one.
We know you
stat models. That's a guaranteed W. That's a guaranteed W. Number one. The stat model.
Guaranteed.
Bet the farm.
All right, pod's over.
I like what you're talking about, though, Bubba, with starting in this range and just keeping it more balanced. I think you can get some of these guys maybe a little bit lesser percentage. I think Kuchar will be popular again. I mean, he had another really, really nice showing last week. It's amazing how he just comes out of nowhere with that 64 on Friday. And then he didn't play very well on Sunday, but he'll finish 10th. And that's after a ninth of the PGA Championship. So two straight top 10s. And, you know, just a bunch of made cuts in a row, bunch of top 10s this year. I mean, he's Mr. Solid. And $8,800, if you can get a top 10 out of a guy, you're sitting in pretty good shape. I think another interesting guy in this range is Charlie Hoffman. Now, he tends to kind of do better at – more birdie fest type of golf courses where the scoring gets low and he can just, you know, tee it high and let it fly kind of and not have to worry about so much making bogeys and just concentrate on making birdies, if that makes sense. But one way or the other, I think he's interesting. And I also think, you know, a guy that might go under the radar this week, which would be surprising, and this is a really good price on him, is Sergio Garcia. I know he hasn't played since the PGA Championship where he missed the cut. So it could be interesting to see if he could go under the radar and see what he looks like when he comes back here.
Not bad. What about you, Bucks?
Yeah, this is like – this is the start of a real sweet spot this week, I think. Mm-hmm. I think this week, more than any other week so far that I've seen, is definitely susceptible to a certain game theory winning, right? You can definitely make a stars and scrubs type lineup and still have a really good bottom core players. But I think so many people after last week, especially, going to gravitate towards the Spieth, the DJs, the Matsuyamas, those type of guys that starting, like you said, Jesse, at Casey and working your way down could definitely be not only a solid separator, but, I mean, the 7 to 8K range is just loaded. I mean, you mentioned Casey, you mentioned Hoffman. I love Hoffman this week. He's kind of he's one of the hottest guys on tour the last 2 months, and he makes a ton of birdies. He in my stat model, which I do last 24 rounds, in every single category that I mentioned, he is no worse than 15th in any category. So he's fourth on my model this week, and so I love Hoffman. But Kuchar, obviously, the guy just top 10s. He's like an auto top 10 guy. It's ridiculous. And then a couple others I like. Reed I like. Kepka I like this week, and I think his price is just ridiculous. The one guy that that was surprising to me, but I love the way he's been playing, and I love what he's getting with here in my stats, is Kevin Chappell. So he, one, has been playing great, but he is 8th in tee to green for me, 15th in par 4 scoring, 450 to 500 yards, 5th in DK points, and 10th in birdies. And I think he's one of those names that always gets overlooked. And I think if you started a lineup with, like, Casey and Chappell, or Casey Kuchar Chappell, or any one of those guys that we mentioned, or Hoffman, Casey, Chappell, you have a really, really solid core, and you don't have to go dumpster diving down the bottom.
Yeah.
Not saying that anybody really in this event is a huge dumpster fire, but I think that gives you a really solid core without having to spend 12 grand for DJ or Spieth.
I 100% agree. The one I started out with was Casey Kuchar Hoffman. I'm very excited about that one, and I'll be on all three of them for all the reasons you guys just mentioned. But Kuchar, I just can't quit. Cannot quit him. I know he's going to miss a cut one day, and I'll be angry, but I really shouldn't.
I can't start him.
Yeah. Well, that's where my next question was going to be, because the Chappie I looked at quite a bit. I like him for the contrarian angle of it, because he has played great, really good golf. So he's on the list, but Rose, I feel, is going to be very chalky at 81. He kind of worries me, but he looked good this last weekend, and his stats look good for this course. Simpson's the other one. You can't start Kuchar. I can't start Simpson.
I love so, Simpson.
I know. That's what I'm saying. I look at everything he's got going, and it looks perfect for this for this course.
He's been too hot lately.
That's what scares me. I'm waiting for that Simpson exactly, just freaking dumpster, like fire. so bad. But, yeah, my main guys here would be Casey Kuchar, Hoffman, and then I'm really leaning heavy towards Chappell, and that's probably it on that. But we got a bunch of golfers, a ton of golfers, and some that aren't even in that are sixes. But let's go through the sevens. Hey, Jesse, start us off there.
Yeah, I mean, I think there's about last count, I stopped at 1,500,000 golfers, 7,000. So, I mean, you know, DraftKings is going back to the whole let you make any lineup you want. And kind of to piggyback off what you were talking about there, Bucks, stars and scrubs will be the most popular way to go this week because, you know, at the beginning of the year, if you remember in PGA Tour and on PGA DFS, stars and scrubs was the way to go because DJ was hot, you know, Spieth was there, blah, blah, blah. And then, like, all these golfers started playing bad in the middle of the year, and balance was the way to go. And then that got popular, and now we're back to stars and scrubs again because all these guys are playing great. Now,
exactly.
I would do both. You know, I'm going to do both. I will have lineups both ways, but I do think it's a great way to go. So getting to what your original question was, which who do I like in this region? I don't know if it's just me, but DraftKings pissed me off with this Adam Scott price. I wish they would have put him at like 9,500 so I could just say that's stupid. There's no way I could ever possibly roster him, but it's $7,900 for Adam Scott. I don't know what to say. I mean, his course history is 4th, 16th, 53rd, 7th, 8th, 5th.
It's a trap. It's a trap.
I mean, I just – 7,900, though. How do you not play Adam Scott at $7,900? So that'll be interesting to see how talented he is.
Like Bucks asked me with Reavy last week, what do you think his ownership's going to be?
I would say – percent plus.
I got higher. Yeah, I got higher than 25. Price
I hope so. I mean, I hope it's 80%. I hope it's
80%. If he's top 10 fan share, I will not play him. But if he's not, then I think he's a good play at $7,900. So other than him, I'm going back to – I played some Duffner last week, and it really paid off. He finished 20th at 6,700, which was not bad for last week. And shot 72 on Sunday, which was disappointing. But one way or the other, I like Duffner, especially on Ball Strikers golf course. Berger's price, another thing that pisses me off about this pricing, like Berger should be in the 8,000s, in my opinion. It's pretty ridiculous to have him down here. He has played here the last 2 years, 41st and 12th. Of course, 33rd last week, and he can make a bunch of birdies. You know, other than that, going on down, I think is where you kind of get more chalky. Because if you're going, I just tried this, and so I started out with Spieth, and then I went Paul Casey. I think that'll be a popular combination this week. I think Paul Casey will be 30% plus as well. But then it basically gets you down to $7,200, and then the first guy you see there is a guy who finished top 10 last week in Patrick Cantlay. I love Patrick Cantlay. But he might be 30% on this week. And for that reason, I don't know if I can play him. Another guy, Tony Finau, right down here in this region, $7,100 for Tony Finau this week. Coming off the – he didn't play very well on the weekend, or at least on Sunday. He shot 77 on Sunday last weekend for a solid 54th finish there, 54th place. But, I mean, he's going to be chalky again. I don't know that I'll have much of him, but he's down here in this range. And if Graeme DeLay plays, I might play him just because I think he'll be next to not even owned.
You're just
for punishment. Yeah. What do you got, Bucks?
Yeah, I mean, this is another. I mean, again, we just mentioned it, but you could make rosters in this entire range and be 100% fine. So in this range, there are a bunch of guys I like. Like Jesse said, I think Adam Scott is incredibly mispriced. I think he is too good of a ball striker typically to be in this price. He is an atrocious putter. But with that being said, with a course like this, the greens running so pure, he obviously has a chance. I mean, and you're getting incredible value on a guy that has been in the top 10 in the world. But other guys that I do like in this range, I obviously love Finau. He not only shows up week after week. I understand last week he tanked it pretty hard Sunday, but been playing really, really well. I'm hoping that final round suppresses some of his ownership. I'm not sure how much it will, though. But he is really good in my stat model. I think he is 10th or something in my stat model. Not only that, but I talked about it earlier. Guys that have won this event have finished in the top 25 in scoring and top 25 in the overall stat category. the all-around ranking, and Finau falls inside the top 25 in both of those. And so he's kind of one of those guys that incredibly mispriced, but it's kind of like he's due, right? He's like another Hoffman. He's been playing incredibly well. He makes a ton of birdies. He is first in my model last 24 rounds on easy golf courses in par five scoring. And he's really good in the 450 to 500 yard par four range. So Finau is one of my core guys this week. But a couple others I like. Duffner I really like this week. Kokrak I like. He's a name that everybody overlooks, but he's been playing really well, hits the ball really far. Vegas, he's on fire, on fire. And at his price, you could definitely solidify a lineup with, especially because he's, again, a guy I think gets overlooked a ton. Because he missed like six cuts in a row earlier in the year. And then one guy that I do like Cantlay, like you said, Jesse. But one guy that I don't – it almost pains me to say it because he burned me so bad last week. But I do like Love Mark this week.
Uh-huh.
He may have been the worst putter that I've ever seen round one last week, like ever. just following shot tracker, like he had, I think, like five straight holes where he like a 30 footer for birdie and then had like a 12 footer for par. And it was just, his speed was so bad. And so I'll probably sprinkle him in maybe one lineup, cause I'm only playing three lineups this week, but I do like where he falls in my stat category. And I think because of last week, his ownership will be even lower than it was.
Yeah, I'm definitely have to see what you guys said about Scott. The price is too hard to just ignore, but the ownership could be just a killer. I'm looking at guys like Duffner again. The Love Mark angle, that's exactly what I was going with. I think he had a horrific week, like you said, horrible week. Coming into that, he was playing so well. And he actually, like you said, he had birdie putts. He wasn't just tanking it all the time from tee to green. It was on the green. So hopefully that's something he can fix. Who knows? But for 7,100. And then I'm all over Vegas at 7,000. I have a feeling he could be chalky. But then again, with Finau at 71, I think it'll take a lot away from him.
I
really like there.
Yeah, I think Vegas, I think his ownership will be really low just because there's so many guys around him in the 7,100 to 6,900 range.
Yeah, I like Cantlay just like you guys. I can't quit Reavy. I know you keep telling me to. I can't do it, and he keeps performing. So there's something about Chez that I can't do it.
I like Reavy.
But I like him. And then two names that weren't mentioned yet. I think Kisner's underpriced at 77 the way he's playing right now. I know he finished 54th last week. It was mainly one blow-up round, if I remember correctly. He was playing pretty well early on. The other guy, I don't know how he's this cheap at all. And I know he finished T29 last week. Charles Schwartzel 7,500. That seems like a play to me in the middle of the 7K range that hopefully goes overlooked. I think I'll have some Schwartzel in my lineups for sure. But mainly Duffner, Vegas, and then I'm gonna look at Love Mark and Reavy and Cantlay based on ownership. But Schwartzel I like a lot as well.
Well, Schwartzel was 6,900 last week. And he was still under 10%, I think.
I think he just hasn't been playing that much, so people forget who the heck he is, it seems like.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was super tilting when he raced out to the lead on Friday or whatever.
Right.
All right. Let's go below 7K, where, again, there's a good chunk of golfers. I love a ton of them in the 6,900 range. I ain't go below 67, but I'm curious to see what you have to say, Bucks.
Yeah, I really like this range as well. And this is the biggest reason why I think you can go Star Scrubs this week and still be really, really good. Molinari, Xander Schauffele, and there's a bunch of other guys down here, Leishman, that I really like. Molinari and Schauffele are my two core plays in this range. Both fall inside the top 15 in my stat category. I'm not sure why either of them are priced this way, but I'm shocked that Molinari is $6,900 this week. It's I'm not sure what their algorithm is, but I think something got messed up. But there's a couple other guys that I do like down here. Leishner, like I mentioned, Luke List is another one that I'm not playing him this week, but from a stat perspective, he looks okay this week. In mine, which is last 24 rounds on a scorer's golf course, he's sixth in par four scoring and seventh in tee to green. That being said, he has not been performing great, which is, again, is a reason why I'm not playing him. The one guy that I do want to mention down here that is jumping out in my stat model, he's 15th overall in my rankings, is Bryson DeChambeau. Yeah, I mean, he's – I don't even know what to say. It's just an interesting play down here. I mean, you could – when he gets hot, he gets really, really hot. I mean, he makes a ton of birdies when he gets hot. So this must be picking up his rounds like 4 weeks ago when he had three back-to-back tournaments where he was on fire. But I think this is a tournament where he doesn't have to think too much. He can hit it out there and try to hit greens, that kind of thing. So, again, he's $6,800. So, for that price, you're getting a high upside guy that'll be under 6% owned. So,
what do you got, Jesse?
Yeah, I'm actually not a huge fan of this range, which is one reason why for me it's more difficult to go stars and scrubs. But, I mean, Xander, of course, he had a really good tournament last week, finished 17th, and I think I'm pretty sure he bogeyed the 18th hole, which I think was only like half of my golfers bogeyed the 18th hole just to lose me money. But
the glass is half full.
Obviously, I'm not really salty about that, but at least he's below 7,000. I really don't understand how he's not more expensive, as much good golf as he's been playing recently. As far as Franny goes, at 6,900, I will have zero of him, and I hope everybody gets back on that train again this week so he can three-putt his 18th hole on, I guess it'll be Saturday this week, but in the second round to miss the cut again. And, I mean, that's why he's $6,900. He doesn't, like, he's not, for me, like, Francisco Molinari should be in this range, in this field, because he's not that good. I know a lot of people love him. He did finish second at the PGA Championship somehow. But other than that, I mean, he's got a second at the BMW Championship this year. And other than that, he just hasn't done anything because his putter sucks. So they can have all the putter tilt they want. I think Mark Leishman is interesting at this price. There's a pretty big price decrease from last week where he was $8,400 last week. So I'll probably have some of him. He does have decent course history with a 46 last year. He has a missed cut the year before, but has made the cut in most years that he's played here. So I think he's interesting. I think Hudson Swafford is also interesting. Last year in a 43rd at the Northern Trust last week, so he did make the cut. And he tends to show up in spots where he can just kind of bomb it and maybe make some putts, so I'll probably have a little bit of him, and then I'll talk a little bit more. Well, I'll just go ahead and mention it now. J.J. Spahn, he's kind of popping on my model as far as the pricing goes. So he's probably the lowest I would go down here. I don't even know that I'll go this low, but, I mean, 6,700, he's probably my other guy. Yeah, Bubba.
That Leishman pricing just stares me in the face that – it's not like it's not as bad as Adam Scott by any means, but the way he can play it, and he's on my list. The Molinari, you just scared the crap out of me now because I was all in on him. Bucks got me pumped up. And he got me
hurt. Here's
but
hey, Bubba. So Molinari is top 10 in scoring average, and he's sixth in all around ranking.
I know he gets to the green like one of the best in the whole tour. It's just a matter of the putting. I agree.
Oh, yeah. The putting is.
You two, but so is Adam Scott. They got a grand.
You two roster him this week and then just bitch in our little. Hey,
Jesse, I'll roster him against you head to head. I'll roster him against you. You know one of my six.
I hope you do.
Yes. Right now.
Yes.
There you go. And then Shoffley, you can't that price tag is just wrong. We talked about him even before the pod. That stuck out like a sore thumb. A couple other guys I'm looking at. Stanley did play much better last week. Still not sure I'm ready to go to him, but when you're talking about green, like approach to the green and everything, he is very, very good. He's one of the best on the tour. Tee to green, really, really good. His stat line is popping. He has had a really rough go of it of late. You look at guys like Ian Poulter. I know people hate Ian Poulter, but below 7K, you want to make cuts, he makes cuts, and he makes like top 25s most weeks. So he is definitely on my agenda. Plus, he pissed a lot of people off this past week. So that works for me. He pisses people off every time he opens his mouth, but that's a whole other story. The last but not least guys I'm looking at, when you go a little farther, you can look at guys like Harold Varner if you want to really sweat. But a guy I like, I don't understand his $6,700 price tag, as we were on him last week. I think he was in the sevens, is Chad Campbell. Yeah, I love the way Campbell's playing. I know he finished T67 last week, but prior to that, for a price tag of 67, he's getting 42nd or better. He got a tie for 21st last year here, only a second time playing the course. His stats line up very well here for the most part. Mm-hmm. Just for a cut maker alone, Campbell at 67 is a really good play for me.
Yeah, he shot 78 on Sunday. That's the reason he finished 67. So he shot 78. Did you guys notice, and I noticed this, I don't know if you were paying attention, but that the golf course actually got easier as the day went on, like most days.
Oh, yeah, for sure, yeah.
Here than morning. Was that wind, or do you have any idea?
No, I don't. I mean, I would have – yeah, typically it's the opposite of that, so I'm not sure. I would assume – yeah.
Loop there.
It was quite odd. Maybe it was because it dried out and the ball bounced another 100 yards down the fairway. Who knows?
That could be that.
No.
So weird.
Let's talk pump plays. Bucks, what's your top one or two pump plays?
The only two that if I were to play them, I think they're a solid punt option this week. DeChambeau, again, he'll be super low owned. And then a guy down in this range that I think has really high upside. But again, would be a pump play is Kevin Na.
What about you, Jesse?
Yeah, JJ Spong. If we're getting down there in that range, he's probably my guy. Another guy I think is kind of interesting, and you'll love this. James Hahn. He did finish fifth here. He did finish fifth here last year. So Kevin Andre.
Hey, you play him. I'll play Molinari.
No, you want to punt in $6,700 range. That's it. I myself may not even get below Xander. I may not even play that much as Xander because he's probably going to be chalky. I like Leishman.
Yeah, I'm scared of that. Yeah, I'm looking at Leishman, obviously looking at Molinari, but my $6,700 would be Campbell. I love that price tag for what he brings to the course. What is your top bust, Jesse?
Now, I used to be a Molinari truther. So, like, I was the guy who rostered Molinari every week until I finally got sick and tired. 5 feet for birdie, 3 feet for par.
It's the wrong week to hop off of him, brother.
Anyways, top bust. Man, that's tough because it's – I mean, this, like, there's a good chance that there's zero bust this week, that the chalk all gets through – and then it's just a race to the chalkboard to see who can write their name on it. That really might be the way that it is. So, I mean, top bust, I'll go DJ. I don't think he wins, and you got to win to pay off that $12,000 price tag, so I'll go DJ.
I like that.
What about you, Bucks?
Yeah, again, small field. They're all studs. But a guy that doesn't look – great in my stat model, so I'm not gonna play him. Is Koepka, so I he could come out and win the thing, but I don't see it happening. So
I'm with you on that. I agree.
Yeah, just for meat and value wise, I was looking at DJ because you say he's gonna have to win for to sure do it, you. And I don't see it happening. When I was looking trying to make my bust earlier, I kept scrolling and scrolling through prices. I couldn't justify one really. It's like just to not win until it went like 7K.
Yeah.
So I agree with the chalky feel. Bucks, what are your core players?
Spieth, Casey, and Hoffman are the three top core. And then once I get lower, I do have Molinari in one of my three lineups. So, but Spieth, Casey, and Hoffman are my core this week.
What about you, Jesse?
I'll probably be Casey. Like he might be 70% owned. I don't know. I'm still playing him.
Paul guaranteed Casey, win. He should be.
He's gonna win. It's a guaranteed win. And Paul Casey, Hideki, and maybe Adam Scott with Patrick Cantlay. It just depends on how chalky they end up being. So we'll see.
Mine is Casey, Kuchar, and Hoffman. I'll be building around those guys. At least two of them in every lineup that I will be doing.
I like it.
What is your pick to win besides Paul Casey, Jesse?
Wait, what? You said besides Paul Casey? All
right. Well, who finishes second?
Hideki Matsuyama.
What about you, Bucks?
Spieth, my number one to win, but outside of Spieth, Hoffman.
Yeah, I actually wrote down Casey first, not even just to, you know, not to suck up, but I had Casey, and then other than that, I had Hoffman. Those are the two I've written down on a piece of paper. So those are the two I like. Jesse, why don't you lead us in some listener questions?
Yeah, we had a few good ones this week. The first was from Bucks boy Jason Spiegel at Speaks 21. Is Justin Rose back? I will say maybe. I have no idea. It's really weird to me that he showed up on the leaderboard. What you got, Bucks?
Yeah, I think he's back. I mean, he's been starting to play better, and he's on the verge of really breaking through. It's going to take one solid week. So I think he is incredibly under-owned this week and represents huge value. So I think he has a shot this week. And, yes, I will say he is teetering on being back.
I think the way he looked last week, he could definitely – we know when Rose is on, he's on. He's one of the top players in the world for a reason, so it wouldn't surprise me. That price tag is way too cheap. So if you like him, play him.
All right, on to the next one is Johnny Bell. No, actually, our dude Randy. Randy Endorf. Is that Randy Endorf? Is that his Twitter handle?
Yeah. Super original, yes.
Yes. Yeah. Love it, Randy, coming out of the gate there with the originality. Concerns with Cantlay playing back-to-back? I do not. My only concern with Cantlay is he going to be super chalk?
I don't know. I don't know if I see him being too chalky this week because there's so many guys around him. But with that being said, I do not have concerns with him playing back-to-back. In fact, I think that it helps him. I think he can – kind of get in a groove again. He doesn't have to skip weeks, and mentally I think it's easier to play a couple weeks in a row getting into that grind. So I think it's better for him.
Yeah, I think he's gonna be just fine. He's a young kid. I'm not worried about him at all. He's ready to go.
Yep, I'm with you guys on that. All right, so then next was from Johnny Bell at one Johnny Bell one. Who is the biggest WD risk?
Pretty sure we all agree on this one.
It's your favorite. I don't know.
Stenson.
He's gone.
He's already,
but he is the number one option.
Yes, I'm right.
I would personally say delay McAvoy. Yeah, you win.
Yeah, but, I mean, I would say – I don't know. Is delay going to play? I don't even think he's going to play. So.
I don't know. Delay McAvoy, Glover potentially – McElroy's the big one that scares me.
That's the play. I mean, he didn't shoot 71 on Sunday, but I don't think I'm going to touch him. He's pretty high up my model here. But then again, that might be a little contrarian because everybody did see him go down and it was on TV. And so who knows? But I would say you're right with Glover. I like the Glover call. All right. And then our OG John at Clem Bros. Any reason not to fire back on DJ?
I mean,
other than ownership, no.
Yeah. I mean, I would say you got Spieth there, and winning back to back is incredibly rare on tour. I mean, but he just won, and he is the best player in the world. So,
yeah, it's hard to argue.
I mean, the only thing I can think of is he kind of comes in disinterested and wants to go party for Labor Day weekend, so he misses a cut.
Yeah, something tells me he wants that. Something tells me he wants that paycheck.
He could. It's a good chance.
Well, the number one in the playoffs.
That's it. That's all I got. You guys see any other ones? It's only ones I got.
That's all I saw.
Nope.
Oh, cool. We should be good to go. That wraps us up. Any last words, gentlemen?
I would say, if you're playing this week and playing more than one lineup, definitely change up how you create your rosters and go stars and scrubs with a few and a few really balanced, because I think I could see going either way. And last week, stars hit, and this week, I think there's a ton of options there to stay balanced and still have a really solid lineup.
Feedback off that. Leave money on the table. There was, I think I counted up almost around about 80% last week used 49.8 or more. So everybody had, you know, basically maxed out the salary. So if you started, if you leave 300, you know, you're in the 20 percentile. If you leave, you know, 400, you're getting less and less and less. So the chances of being duplicated, which is half the battle in PGA DFS, which is rarely talked about, but I mean, if you want a shot to win big money, the first thing you want to try to do is be different. So,
yeah, for sure. Yeah, if you're playing some of those multiple entry, like the $4, the $8, $33,
yeah,
you definitely, like you said, have to be contrary and leave some money on the table most of the time.
In big GPPs. Now, if you're playing smaller ones, 100 or less, it's okay to use it all. More than likely, you're not going to be duped. So can also go more chalky in those as well. But one way or the other, you know, leaving money on the table in big GPPs is big key, especially in this small of a field.
What do you guys typically play? I mean, you guys know that I typically play two or three lineups a week in some larger GPPs, but what do you guys typically dabble in?
So I'll play – go ahead, Bubba.
I go in the $20 three max, and then I like to throw some single entry out there, depending on the payouts and the fours and the $8. I like the $4 because of 20 max, so I'll put a handful in there. But usually my main lineups are in the three max, $20. So lately I've only been making three or four lineups anyways.
Yeah, so I'll max out the $20, the 20 max, the $4 20 max, just because I like to get exposure to kind of everybody that I pick. So that's the best way for me to do it. And then I'll have one or two other main lineups, and I'll play the 333. And then I'll probably have five or six lineups that I just make throughout the week in the 33. There's a big payout in the $33 one this week. It's 21,000 people, but it pays 100,000 the first. So we're going to try to take that down.
Get it.
There we go. And that should wrap us up then. Cool. Hope everybody enjoyed another edition of Always Pressing. Follow us on Twitter at AlwaysPressingDFS. Again, Bucks is at BPSnow11, Jesse at DFS Golf Gods. But check us out. Enjoy the weekend. We'll be back next week with a field of 70. Good luck, everybody. Catch you guys later.